Welcome everyone to the September 20th version of the Zooch and Wild podcast. And Zooch, we finally have a somewhat sponsor for this podcast. It is us. So wanted to get out there. This show is sponsored by the Settle Down store. We have a store now. Use the code down below, Z&W15, for 15% off all your Settle Down merch. I have a really cool Settle Down t-shirt with the microphone. You can also find Zooch and Wild merch, as well as any other merch that you do so please. Check that out, please. The proceeds really helps us out because you guys are the best who's listening. You know who's not the best anymore, Zooch? This may be a perfect segue. We have a new number one team in the country, Zooch.
The Sarkisian Longhorns?
Yes, the Sarkisian Longhorns.
Yeah, I mean, they look pretty good again. Speaking of needs to stop, the Arch Manning not being a Manning because of how fast he was jokes need to stop. I don't know if you saw any of those.
I think people forget that his dad was a receiver at Ole Miss before he had to retire. Like this could be like the turbo, like, you know how there's Mecha Godzilla? This could be Mecha Manning because he has like the smarts and the QB skills of Peyton and Eli, but he has the athleticism of his mom and Cooper. But yeah, Texas, new number one team in the country after Georgia's shaky performance against Kentucky. You cannot almost lose to Brock Vandegrift. So I'm glad that they didn't lose to Brock Vandegrift. But Zooch, that game again, do you think this is a sign of things to come for Georgia, or do you think this is just like the one or two Georgia games that they mess up?
I think it's more so probably one of the, I mean, in hindsight, it doesn't really matter too much. No one will be thinking about this game, and two of their next four, they play Alabama and Texas, so if they win both of those, mm-hmm, they're back to number one. I was kind of, in a weird way, more annoyed with Kentucky than I was Georgia. Like, I just think Georgia probably was, like, it didn't seem like to me Georgia was opening up that much. And I think they tried to at the end when things were a little bit closer. But I thought,
you saw the Kentucky. I mean, you have to go for it there, right? It's fourth and eight in your own zone. You have to play to win. Like, Kentucky was playing. I mean, it was just a classic Mark Stoops. I mean, Zooch, you've said it a million times before. Doesn't matter how Kentucky starts, where they're ranked throughout the year, they will end the year with 8 wins and a Citrus Bowl berth. That is Kentucky every single year. And they played like that team today. But, you know, Texas is number one in the country. I got my Terry Black's Austin Barbecue cup right here in celebration. But Texas looks good, man. Quinn Ewers hurt. Okay, and I have a scenario for you. And before we move on, in 3 weeks, Texas plays Oklahoma. So they're going to play this game. They have a bye week, and they play Oklahoma. What if that's the first game? They have Alabama first before Oklahoma?
Or sorry, excuse me. I was confusing Texas and Georgia. You're right.
Yeah, so this is Texas. And let's say Arch Manning has like a Nico Iamaleva, who we'll also get into later, type of day at UTSA. And then there's the bye week. And then Quinn Ewers, let's say he's not cleared until a couple days before. What do you do if you're Sark? It's like a win-win, but a lose-lose at the same time.
Yeah, I've always thought no matter who the person is, you kind of roll with the hot hand. Until they're not hot anymore. I know Quinn Ewers is really good. He's like a Heisman candidate right now. But if Arch Manning is going off, I don't know how. If he's going off, has full reign of the offense, nothing's going wrong, I don't know that you can just throw Quinn Ewers back in there. Like, I don't think it's wrong to do that. But if you do throw him back in there and they lose, right? Like, let's say Ewers comes back and he struggles a lot against Georgia and they lose. I think then you're in a worse scenario because it's like, oh, well, you know, because how long is he supposed to be out anyway, Quinn Ewers? It's like,
I don't know. It's right. It's a few weeks, a couple weeks. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think there's a right choice. Like it'll probably be Quinn Ewers, and they'll be like, oh, like Arch Manning, like he looks good. Like he's the future. Quinn Ewers is going to get drafted in the first round this year, but Texas has
a tough
schedule, so it's like you can't. And Georgia's the same way, but I think Carson Beck is like the bona fide starter. But I mean,
don't think that they're opening up the book. And this is the last thing I'll say about Georgia before I let you continue with your point. I think Georgia needs to, and the reason why they're not the number one team in the country is I think they're trying to play an offense that is like a Stetson Bennett Georgia offense when they need to play a Carson Beck Georgia offense. This Georgia team, they have freak athletes all across the field, but they don't have like that ground and pound that Kirby Smart teams typically in the past have had.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. I think the offensive line hasn't looked as dominant as it usually is. And defensively, I don't know that they're as good as they usually are on that side of the ball either. And they just have they haven't even really hit the meat of their schedule. Like, and people are forgetting too, I think a little bit, that they beat Clemson down. I think 9 times out of 10, mm-hmm. they probably beat Kentucky down too. But they're coming mm-hmm. up on a stretch of.
Oh, it's tough.
I mean, Texas, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and two of those are away games. Like, I don't know if you want to be 1 and 2 in that stretch. And even like Auburn doesn't look great, but it's not. They're probably better than Kentucky. Mississippi State sucks. 100%.
Auburn. Our guy Freeze. Although Peyton Thorne in my side is no longer so they actually have shots at winning now. Peyton Thorne in my side, great all time. Zuch pointed this out. Please just listen to the Paul Feinbaum show, and you will get some of the best quotes. I don't always like the man, but. Damn it, he has some great callers. But Zuch, anything else on Georgia before we move on to some other contenders? It seems like this has been a week of contenders getting back on track. You know, Oregon blew out Oregon State. You had Notre Dame playing really well. I was most impressed with Alabama, the way that they handled going down 3 to Wisconsin, then just saying, okay, yeah, we're Alabama, and Jalen Milroe going, hey, I'm still here too. A lot of talk about Carson Beck, Quinn Ewers, Shador. Jalen Miller was going, hey, I still want to get drafted. I still think I'm one of the best QBs in the country. So Zuch, out of all of the playoff contenders, who are you most impressed with during the last week?
Ooh, out of all the playoff contenders.
That one, I guess I should say.
That one's tough because like last week, I guess we'll see how Wisconsin is. Like, I don't think that they're probably like a just outside of the top 25 team, maybe like 8-4-ish.
I don't know. I think Wisconsin could be bad. I think Wisconsin could be really bad. Tyler Van Dyke's hurt. Hey, and like Big Cat says, if Tyler Van Dyke plays, who knows what happens in that game? Who knows what happens?
Exactly. They lost their starting QB. They could be undefeated in a top 10 team. I mean, it's like I look at the playoff contenders, and I guess specifically, like, you're talking about teams who you think are definitely going to be in the playoffs. So Georgia, Texas, Alabama. I think Miami's trending in that direction.
Miami but looks good.
A lot of these teams, like even Ole Miss, like I don't think Wake Forest is going to be that good. But I do think there's something to be said for good teams just beating down lesser competition. Mm-hmm. So, yes, while Georgia only beat Kentucky 13-12, beating Clemson and Kentucky in 2 of your 3 games is not – I mean, it's not the world's hardest schedule, but I wouldn't say it's like a walk in the park. And they haven't allowed a touchdown yet. Michigan, I don't think is going to be in the playoff. I think they're probably a 3-loss team at least. We'll get into them a little bit later and who they play. So that's a good one for Texas. I don't know. I really don't know on that one. There's all the – I think there's – you're really starting to see right now a big difference in the teams who I think could win the national title and teams who I think 100%. Could make the playoff, 100%. I guess.
And, you know, a dark horse kind of team I was impressed with, you know, wasn't the beatdown, but Kansas State looks like they are – at least one level above. I mean, we will see how Utah and Oklahoma State play, which that's a game we'll get into later in the show. But Kansas State, I think, is another team that really, really impressed me on a Friday night. And, you know, I have warped my brain around, you know, I think Kansas State is just really good. Not that, man, I may have overblown my confidence in the Arizona Wildcats. Because McMillan looks good. It's just something. What is it, Zuch? Like when I watch this Kansas State team just beat up Arizona and kind of start pulling away late. It was close. And then, you know, they start to go on a little roll. And to me, it's like, I don't want to get too simple with it, but Arizona going to a new environment, you know, let's just call a spade a spade. Pac-12 environment, pressure, completely different than when you're thrown into the Big 12 and have those expectations. You know, it's always easier to be the hunter than the hunted sometimes. And we're seeing that with Arizona, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Kansas State is they're always, specifically for the Big 12, very good defensively. So I think that with their offense looking so good, because they have a lot of, I feel like the Big 12 is usually, you know, a shootout fest. Like, Oklahoma beat Kansas, you know, 55-41, whatever the example you want to use, you could use right there. But I think Kansas State's defense is probably what sets them apart from those other schools. Cause I think,
yeah.
And I think Utah might be that way too. I think Utah, but they struggle a little bit more on offense, I think, than Kansas. Like, I think Kansas State's offense.
Well, Utah has a terrorist at quarterback. So, yeah. I'm just dead again. We'll get into why. Not an actual. Oh my gosh, I can't let these things get clipped, Zuch. You know, we have some freaks. Some I know personally the freaks that live in Salt Lake and root for the Utes. So,
I think the biggest thing, kind of combining all these points is, I'm starting to lean more and more into there might be at least two, maybe three SEC teams in the
final. I think both of our predictions of what we each had, what, at least four or five, is looking better by the day. It's all just, the good SEC.
Yeah, it's just to me they're kind of – and like
– there's six right now that have very realistic shots.
Yeah, and they're kind of, and I know, like I said, yes, Georgia only beat Kentucky 13-12. Not a great win by any stretch of the imagination. But, like, you compare that to what they did to Clemson, who, I mean, it's Clemson or Miami is going from the ACC to the playoff. Florida State's not, Georgia Tech's not, Virginia's not, Wake Forest. Yes, maybe Cal. Cal is 3-0 right now. They're a dark horse. But if you had the money right now and the odds, have to favor Miami or Clemson.
Oh, 100%.
And Clemson looked 10 steps behind Georgia. Like it.
Yeah.
I know Ole Miss hasn't played anybody, but they haven't allowed a touchdown this year. I don't care.
Hey, they really played the Demon Deacons. Also, yeah, jump scare for the country again. Hank Bachmeyer still starting. Talked about it last week. We try to give our listeners the heads up. Also, Wake Forest, on a scale of 8 to 10, how much of a weenie move is it buying out of your buy game?
It's not great. And that's kind of my point is like Wake Forest is like a perennial bowl team in the ACC, and they got handled. Like, I mean, 40-6 is you getting blown out. Like the game was never even close. Like I watched every second of it, and Ole Miss scored in like the first minute and 20 seconds. So that's my overall point is that top of the SEC. I'm not talking about Mississippi State, South Carolina, LSU, those types of teams, but the Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, and even Missouri.
Love me some Missouri. Ranked win on Saturday.
Right. And like, I don't know. They're just looking like the Big Ten has Ohio State. I don't, and I guess maybe Penn State, but Penn State struggled with.
They got Oregon.
Oregon. Yes, I forgot about Oregon. But Oregon, like we talked about in a couple weeks ago, hasn't looked the best. Like, I think maybe they've picked it up now. But overall, I'll end it on this. The teams you thought were going to be in the playoff from each conference, SEC far and away, look scarier than anybody else, in my opinion. Maybe it'll all change. And
I 100% agree with you, Zuch. There is one fly in the ointment, I think, is that if USC emerges as a power that is a Big Ten player that people were not counting on at the beginning of the year.
We were.
That's what I will say. We were. I mean, you know me. You chose USC to make the playoff. I've been on the Miller Moss hype since last year, and that's no BS too, because I'm not a USC being by any stretch of the means. In fact, I kind of hate USC, but they look good this year. Zuch, we are now going to move on to one of my favorite segments, a new recurring segment we have. It's Zuch's List Editions, where we find tweets, social media posts by fans of certain teams, and they can be anyone. And if you guys have any, please send them in. Send them to the Settle Down Instagram. Send them to one of our Twitter accounts, please, because as much as we are on Twitter every College Football Saturday, we need to see your tweets. I have one, Zuch, for you, if you don't mind me going first.
Go ahead.
So this person shall not be named, this tweet, and I will not describe the picture, but just look up Mike Bobo rallying the guys at half. That guy needs his Twitter deleted. We cannot have tweets like that in a civilized society. Please look it up. Again, it is just a game, guys. Like, please, you cannot go that far. That is all I have.
They are known as a team who has some weirdos. Like, they have some weird rituals. I saw one today of their law school doing a thing for like National Declaration of Independence or Constitution, something like that day. Texas A&M, a fan tweeted a video from a movie where a man with special needs latches onto a football team, and there's a certain scene where he is on the the sled.
Ladder drill. The ladder drill.
Yeah. And all the players are hitting it, and they said Billy Napier coaching the defensive line of Florida on the list.
Guys, we have to, and I laugh not because, I mean, you know, people think whatever's funny is funny. A little bit of it is funny, but it's like, guys, it's just a game. We can't be doing this. Right. And we also do this segment because I don't think there's a portion of America that knows, like, that is like the soil of college football, is people like that. They want to see all the glitz and glam. ESPN wants to pump all this money into these TV packages. At the core of this sport, it's guys tweeting like that who have season tickets in the third deck who no one will ever know about, and we'll call them to the Paul Feinbaum show. But yeah, Zuch, that was my one list edition. That was another great list edition. Anything else?
Nothing else on the list. The list will really start firing up come conference play. That's when you really see people come out of the woodwork.
And let's just say Georgia Alabama has already started.
Yep, there was getting in trouble with vehicles off between Alabama.
Yes,
and
Georgia. Let's just say, essentially, to an Alabama and a Georgia fan. Actually, we can add this to the list. An Alabama and a Georgia fan essentially had a "I'm poor." Like, you remember that South Park where it's like, "I'm way more poor than you," between Cartman and Kenny. Essentially, that's what happened between a Georgia fan and an Alabama fan, where the Alabama fan goes, "Man, if only there was a..." So obviously another Georgia player got arrested for reckless driving. Alabama fan quote tweets saying essentially, man, if only there was a strong leader that could actually like lead these men to do the right thing. This is like BS. How many of these guys get in trouble? What a program you're running over there. Alabama fan quote tweeted, a certain Alabama receiver who, while he was in the NFL, may have gotten a DUI, and referenced that that receiver, who will remain nameless, went to Alabama. That's all I will say.
It's 2 weeks from that. Just be on Twitter for that, like leading up to that game, because you're going to see that is a come aparts will happen depending on who loses. Either way, whoever loses that game, there will be a come apart on one side or the other.
Oh my goodness. Awesome. Well, that is the list editions. We will be back next week for any more list editions. And like I said, send them in if you find them and we will talk about them. Let's move on to, we found three of the biggest games coming up, and oh my gosh, it's week four now. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy that it's week four. We're already a month into the season. I'm loving it. But we are going to move to what a lot of people think is the premier game. It's 4:30 Pacific time game on ESPN. That is Tennessee, Oklahoma, top 15 matchup. We got Nico versus Jackson Arnold. We have Josh Heupel, who used to be a player at Oklahoma, coaching now the Tennessee Volunteers against Oklahoma. Zuch, I just want to get your general thoughts of this game. You know, what do each team, what do you think, who do you think is going to win, and why do you think that team's going to win?
So I think Tennessee is going to win. However, I know people are saying like a lot of pressure is on Oklahoma. I think a little bit more is on Tennessee.
Completely agree.
And it's just because I think Tennessee had a little bit higher expectation. I think most Oklahoma fans, not like they probably had a little bit of unrealistic expectations going into the year, but I think they were a little bit like, all right, we're going somewhere where Texas is going to be good, Georgia's going to be good, Bama's going to be good, LSU is going to be decent, Ole Miss is going to be decent to good. So I think Missouri, same thing. So I think they kind of knew coming in, all right, you know, we don't really have national championship expectations. Maybe, you know, playoff. Maybe we could make the playoff, but I don't think they were going to finish in, you know, the top five. Tennessee, I think, kind of felt like with the quarterback hype, you know, they finished relatively strong last year after they had like they lost 3 out of 4 and then won the last two in their bowl game or something like that.
Yeah.
But this loss would hurt Tennessee, I think, way, way more.
I think so, too.
So I think Tennessee will win the game, but it's going to be a – I think it's going to be a good game. I think – I don't think, you know
– I think also, it'll be
Tennessee
a good –
Tennessee might need to be on the list just because of what they did to the Kent State Golden Flashes last week.
But yes. Dude, oh my goodness, Kent State. I don't think the MAC, they are lucky NIU got that win over Notre Dame, because I don't think the MAC would have been able to recover. Or, Zuch, the MAC is back. Although, this is a good example of there's always balance in the world. The Kent State Golden Flashes, embarrassed, maybe relegated to a Division II level. But you also have the Toledo Rockets, absolutely making a mockery of the SEC. Can we even call Mississippi State the SEC this year, or are they on like SEC timeout?
The Mississippi State fans are down bad. I saw one tweet that said, we're so bad, Ole Miss isn't even making fun of us. So
that's classic.
They're hurting right now. I mean, being down 35-3 to Toledo is just, it's not a good look.
You know, it's bad because I did feel that same way. People, like, usually if an SEC team, like, gets upset like that, it's like, ha, 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 look at this. Like, no one was talking about it. People were just like, oh, my gosh. Like, it really was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it's rough. And, like, I mean, I thought Jeff Lebby was a pretty good hire, but
he needs time. I think he needs some time. At least one more year.
Yeah, he needs time, but he might be trending towards a certain former Arkansas coach who shall remain nameless that won like one game in the SEC, or maybe he didn't even win a single game. But like, that's when stuff like that happens, I'm like, I don't even know where you go from there. And that
does this nameless SEC Arkansas coach may or may not have a nameless son who plays at a nameless universe, who played at a nameless university whose mascot was the Horned Frogs?
Yes, that is who I'm thinking.
Okay,
of,
all of these people will remain nameless, though. We don't want to put anyone on blast. They will.
That gate, who they play this week, the team they're playing this week should be regulated to radio only. No ESPN Plus, no CW network. It should not be allowed to be shown to audiences.
It should. They need to get on closed circuit television where you can only watch it in like one county. That's what they need to do for the Mississippi State games. They need closed circuit television that can only be viewed in Starkville and surrounding counties. Maybe show it in Jackson with all the Mississippi State grads too down there. Those are the only places that Mississippi State can be watched legally in the United States.
I agree. I completely agree. But yeah, I'm going with Oklahoma in this one. Or sorry,
you're
Tennessee.
Going Oklahoma, Tennessee. So I'm also going Tennessee, Zuch. I got some stats for you. Nico Yamileva, 698 yards passing, 6 touchdowns on the season. And that's with him essentially only playing 2 half games in a full game. Like, he's missed about 3 quarters of football just sitting out because they've been blowing teams out so bad. And he has that many yards. Running back Samson got over 300 yards rushing. His offense looks really, really good. And, you know, I'm going to read some quotes. We do have some settled down members. This is a nice settled down matchup. It's, and I'm just going to say it, it's between some settled down people who didn't go to these universities, but they love them. Sean, obviously, people know Sean. He filled in for Zuch a couple weeks ago. Huge Tennessee fan. And then Team Voisin is huge Oklahoma fans. Got some family ties there. And I want to read some quotes that they gave me. What are some keys to the game? What are their thoughts? So, resident Sooner fan is his nickname on this show, Cody Voisin. All he said was, open up the playbook. I love it. He also says, impress your Nico and don't let him run the ball. I mean, I open up the playbook. That's interesting because, you know, the Oklahoma offense does look a little stagnant at times, I think. Although I don't think their offense is bad. I also think it's hard to open up a playbook. And I think Jackson Arnold's good when your QB is short. Let's just call it how it is.
I love Cody for multiple reasons, but Cody's what, 24, 23?
Yeah.
He talks about football like he's like 67. Open up the playbook and don't let the quarterback. I know he's run. Seen somewhere that he's been watching the game with Sean and seen him pick off like twice for like a 14-yard scramble. And that's why he's saying that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you already know. Cody, the second that a fullback comes in on a wham play, he's going to say, that's how you run the damn ball. In the first overthrow Jackson Arnold has, he's going to go, don't reinvent a wheel, run the damn ball. Even though it's like an 8-man front. Sean, our resident Tennessee fan, he says, let Nico and the offense do their thing. The defense will have their first test this week, and that's where the game will be decided. And they need to get the band to play Rocky Top nonstop if they're traveling. Hey, well, I love that last point. Sean.
Yes, I do too. But Oklahoma plays their stupid thing after every.
Oh my gosh, this is a band off of annoying songs. Yes. We are gonna have a band off. I didn't even realize that. What? Oh my gosh, what is more annoying? Would I rather listen to the Oklahoma Boomer Sooner 3-yard gain song or the Rocky Top nonstop song? I think I would rather put my ear right next to a 50 caliber rifle and blow my eardrum out. I think that's what I would rather do.
They're up there with the Florida State, and please, for the love of God, stop playing this.
So, although the Florida State, I will say, at least has a couple, like, I feel like I'm more conditioned to it because the Braves and the Chiefs also use it.
That's very
good. As well as the Guardians list. You keep using it, Guardian fans list. But those songs are just so annoying. And lastly, resident Sooner fan 2.0, Zach Voisin, here's what he has to say for the game. Statement game for both teams. play defense and force Tennessee to make mistakes. And I think it kind of says what you said. I think it is a statement game for both teams, but I think it weighs more heavily on Tennessee this week. And I think if you're Oklahoma, you can use that to play a little looser. You know, what do you have to lose? Lose this game to Tennessee and your playoff hopes are still alive.
Yeah, I mean, playoff hopes still alive. You still want to win this one because I think it gives you a more positive outlook on your season. I feel like this is one that if you lose, you start like, you go from, oh, like, we could be in the playoff to like, oh, 3 or 4 losses at least incoming. Like, we're going to the Music City Bowl. So,
yeah.
And that's just being a fan. So, like, I get, like, when that happens, you're like, oh, my God, here we go again. Especially for those two programs who kind of late. I mean, Tennessee had their 11-2 season. And more so Tennessee because Oklahoma's made the playoff. Hadn't gone well for them. But Tennessee has had hype for about the last 25 years and hasn't cashed in on it in any of those years.
Yeah, no.
The
Hendon Hooker years. Yeah, that's it. The Hendon Hooker year is really the only year since Manning that they've cashed in on the hype.
Right. So we'll see. I'm excited for that game. I think it should be pretty good.
We'll see. I'm excited for this next game too, Zuch. We got Oklahoma State versus Utah. I saw someone on Twitter says, loser of this game has to create an Indeed profile. Quarterbacks. mean. But... I think the combined age of these two quarterbacks, what we got, Cam Rising and Bowman. Alex Bowman, did I get that right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know his name because Oklahoma State, I mean, everything runs through Ollie Gordon. Like, and people can say he's had a down year. I still think he's a top five back in the country. Yeah. But it's just these are two old guys playing. This is not why I got into college football, Zuch, is to watch guys like Cam Rising and Alex Bowman play. But yeah, and other than that, I'm excited for this game.
Yeah, and like to your point on that, it's just like crazy to me that those guys are the age they are, and you have someone like Bryce Young who even knows if he's what, 22 maybe?
Already been he's the same age as he's the same recruiting class as Cam Rising.
Yeah, and
he's the same.
Already been benched for Andy Dalton, which I hope they talk about that on Zach and Anthony and Keaton show because the Carolina Panthers are idiots.
They're a dumpster fire. They are the Dan Snyder Redskins. They are the Dan Snyder Redskins.
Yeah,
let's
draft this guy, put no one around him. Everyone's gonna suck around him, and then we're gonna bench him.
Blame
for
him.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Hey, Andy Dalton. Hey, again, a certain podcaster who will remain nameless may or may not have a picture taken with Andy Dalton.
This is true. This is true. It's terrible. Anyway, I'm excited for this one too. I'll get to watch. This one's it starts at 1:30, right?
12:30 to 1:30, but it's the early afternoon game.
Cool. I'll probably miss, because I'm going to the BSU game, so I'll miss a lot of that Oklahoma Tennessee game. But I'm excited for this one because this is, I mean, kind of in tune with that Oklahoma Tennessee one. You're looking a lot better if you win, and I know obviously if you win, you're looking a lot better. So I'm stating the obvious, but playoffs look a lot more ideal, like in grasp, if you 100%. Win this one as opposed to if you lose. Like, it's just such an early game to lose.
Especially in the Big 12
especially
in the Big 12 where you don't know if the voters are going to respect the conference outside of Kansas State. Like, the Big 12 could very well be a one bid conference. Like that is a possibility. We know the Big 10 is going to get a couple teams. We know the SEC is going to get a couple teams. It's like, how many teams does the Big 12 get let in? Like, that's the thing. This is a game to kind of like, almost like an, you can take out an insurance policy on yourself as a team.
And that kind of goes back to our point we were making earlier about the SEC is like those teams that we talked about earlier with them can afford like you know, Texas can afford to lose to Georgia. Georgia can afford to lose to Ole Miss. Ole Miss can afford to lose, depending on who else they played, to LSU. I don't know how much the Oklahoma States and the Kansas States and all of them can afford to have, like, unless they think they're, if they're 11-1 or 11-2, yeah, they're probably going to be in, but I don't think that's like a surefire, like, oh, you're like, if you're Oklahoma State, right, and you're 10-2 and you don't win the Big 12, you know, you're not getting 5 or 6. That's going to whoever loses the SEC and the Big 10. And then you're kind of hoping, and you lose a Group of Five spot. So you're pretty much hoping you're one of those 4, 7 through 11 teams, I would think.
Yeah.
And you're kind
of. And then Notre Dame might be in, taking one. Like, who knows?
Notre Dame. And then, like we said earlier, you're probably going to have like Alabama, Ole Miss, maybe like a USC. Like, who knows? Yeah. So it's. You want to win this one if you're one of those two teams. This one's hard, but
I have an opinion of who. So I don't think. Oh, where's this game being played? That's the question.
This one.
That'll be how I answer this question.
It is. What is this?
Because I'm so torn.
It is in Stillwater.
Oh, Oklahoma State. Give me Oklahoma State. I think this is like a classic, like Utah. Maybe I'm praying for people who've listened to this show or my clips know my opinions of Cam LinkedIn Rising. he is a rising star on Workday, hopefully. But Cam Rising, I'm hoping for. And if he proves me wrong, I'll eat the crow. Will not make a bet like the Florida State fan. Or, speaking of, we're on the Big 12. Did you see the tweet that the Kansas State fan tweeted out?
He said if Kansas State
loses to BYU, he will shove a beefy five layer up his butt. You cannot do that, because you know what happens if for somehow they lose and you don't do that. And the worst part is he can't just say like, oh, I did it. Like, people are going to be like, proof. And then every loss Kansas State has until he does it, they're going to blame that poor guy. He'll have to delete all his social media again. But I got Oklahoma State after finding his play at Stillwater. I think Utah might struggle with that environment for the very first time in the Big 12.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Like, Utah. What the heck was that? Something just spoke into my. Did you hear that? Something just out of my computer said whatever I can do to help. I don't know what the hell that came from, but.
Are we getting hacked? Oh, well. Who's ever listening? If you don't see this show next week, it's because either my computer or Zuch's computer just got hacked. But
it was the NSA, and they're watching us to see who's on this list so they can get
heads up. Yeah, there's the NSA who's like, yeah, he heard us talk about Cam Rising and was like, yeah, you know, we're actually recruiting him right now. There's no way he's playing professional football. Like,
exactly. Anyway, I'm going to go Oklahoma State too, because Utah, while a good program, they always kind of, you know, I have no doubt that later in the season they could upset someone and ruin their season, because they always seem to do that. Ask Oregon, ask USC. But Utah is traditionally a 3 or 4 loss team. So until they get out of that, it's hard for me to – 100%
agree.
Them to win, so
100% agree. We're gonna move on to our last big game. This is another game that's at the exact same time as Oklahoma State Utah. So nice. Use that last button on the remote, people. Use the dual screen on YouTube TV, or go to the sports bar. That's what I like to do and watch college football. But it's USC versus Michigan. It's a team in USC overperforming than what a lot of people thought, and Team Michigan underperforming. And Zuch, comes down to one position, the most important position, quarterback. One team, USC, as a quarterback who looks like still a dark horse Heisman contender, probably in that top 10 of Heisman contenders right now. And one team has a one guy who can't throw and one guy who can't throw or run. So that's the difference, I think, in this game.
Yeah, it's like we said at the beginning of the year. I mean, if people are watching, I assume they saw our playoff picks. Neither one of us had Michigan in there. We both had, or I had USC. Did you have USC?
I had USC, subject to change. Florida State was okay. Subject to change. Everyone saw that comment. That is a floating spot either between USC or Texas. Subject, I said it was subject to change. I want that on the record.
I knew somewhere you would. We both at least agree that they were in the playoff, if not close to.
Yeah.
They beat LSU, which even, and I'll even say from my point of it, I didn't even necessarily think that they were going to beat LSU. I thought they had a better chance to play in the Big Ten championship and still have a couple losses, whether it be to, you know, Michigan and Notre Dame or Notre Dame, LSU, whoever
Penn
it
State,
would be.
Maybe, yeah.
Penn State, maybe. But they win this one, and I think they will. I just think that Michigan has – I mean, they scored 28 against Arkansas State, who, for those of you who do not remember, Oklahoma had Arkansas State coaches
Butch
crying.
Jones. Yep.
Butch Jones crying on the sideline last year.
Butch Jones looks like he was – did you see Butch Jones when his kicker missed, like, two kicks? That guy looked like a – I texted – so – I texted the group, Arkansas State is going to kill Butch Jones. Butch Jones needs to retire. A guy that wound up cannot coach at Arkansas State. He will die of high blood pressure if he keeps coaching there.
Yeah, he is he's a fiery guy. Let's just say that. It's just he needs some help. And he also, like, I knew he was there because of mainly because of that last year, just seeing that reminded me he was there. I'll be honest, not last week, but the week before, I had absolutely no clue that Derek Mason was the head coach at Mid Tennessee State when I was watching the Ole Miss game.
Derek Mason? Not.
Derek Mason, yeah.
The more you know. No, that's why I love the sport.
I had no clue he was there.
Back to, but, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I'm taking USC. I think that while they probably don't have like a top five defense, last year that defense would have, they probably wouldn't have beaten LSU. I don't think they
would have given up a ton of points to Utah State.
Probably would even give a bunch to Michigan, even though Michigan is terrible on offense. But this, I mean, that defense looks pretty good this year. And we all know, I mean, if there's somebody, there's a few guys in college football you, if you could pick to run your offense, I think top five, probably even top three on the list, you have Lincoln Riley. He honestly might be one. I think that
100%.
A lot of people would say maybe Lane Kiffin, but I mean, Lincoln Riley has three, right? Heisman Trophy winners that he's, yeah, three.
Yep.
Caleb Williams, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. So there's not a better.
That revitalized Jalen Hurts too. Like, he's got a good kind of track record. I think the one shot for Michigan you have, I also think USC will win. One shot Michigan has is that they have to essentially just play the most mucky Michigan game of all time. That defense has to come out to play. Cannot let USC score more than 24 to 25 points. That has to be the goal, is to keep them under 25, give your offense a shot, maybe some fluky touchdowns. And if you're Michigan, Alex Orji's the starter, who I think personally should have always been starting over Warren. And you essentially, in my opinion, run a offense that runs the balls 70% of the time. And everyone's running. Quarterback's running. Wide receivers are running. Fullbacks are running. Both running backs are running. Shoot, just bring out like almost like the Coastal Carolina shotgun triple option, like kind of offense, and keep it simple for Alex Orji. Do not allow him to read defenses. Just say, hey, ball's either going here or dump off or you're running. Do not, like, that's what you have to pray. And also just pray, you know, people talked about USC. They tackle better. Prove it. Michigan, run that ball. Hit the edge. See if those cornerbacks want to tackle. Like, that's what you have to do for Michigan. At the end of the day, I think Miller-Moss is too good. And I also think that the USC defense is improved enough where I do think they will take the challenge, step up, and make those tackles that they would not have made last year. Got USC.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this when I was looking over this game. It'll be interesting next year if USC is really good this year. Like, I'm not saying they're going to win the national title or anything like that, but
if they somehow comes back.
Well, I'm wondering next year how many of those guys, their big name, even De'Aaron Lynn, like if that defense is just phenomenal, like I'm kind of wondering if, and I guess we'll see, because I do think we need to touch on this a little bit. Billy Napier is probably gone from Florida, I think.
100%, almost, yeah.
Everyone thinks that.
He put Graham Mertz back in the game. You don't want to keep your job. If you want to keep your job, you play the freshman and just hope to God like he shows flashes. Then you can try to convince your AD, oh my gosh, but look at this guy I recruited. Like, this is my last chance, this guy. He's not doing that. He's playing Graham, the mid-man Mertz.
Right. And I'm kind of wondering if with De'Aaron Lynn, the DC there, because he made UCLA, like, he kind of bailed Chip Kelly out, because UCLA's defense wasn't, or offense, sorry, was not like his offenses were at Oregon, where it's like, oh, we're going to win 65-30. Their defense was really good there. It might be, honest to God, the best coaching job in America right now that they've gone from
100%
giving up, you know, like 40 points to San Jose State to what they are now. So I'm kind of wondering if he's not going to be like a dark horse for like the Florida job. I know Florida fans
I think want Lane Kiffin, complete...
and I think he could go there. I don't necessarily think it's a – I think it's 50-50 at best, because I think Florida's kind of a circus right now. And I think in the
new age of college football, you don't, it's just, it, yeah, maybe Tallahassee's a better recruiting ground, you know, because you're in Florida, right? But in the modern day of college football, there's an evener of the playing field. That's money.
Yeah.
It's money in NIL fund. It doesn't matter that Missouri is not, there's no athletes in Missouri, or maybe the stadium's not as big. If Missouri's collective can get somewhat close to Florida's, or Ole Miss's can get somewhat close to Florida's, use that money wisely, they can get players all they want. And I will say about this. Do you find it funny, putting my tinfoil hat on, that Alex Grinch, now safeties coach at Wisconsin, 45 points? I don't know what this guy does to keep getting jobs. I think this guy needs to like move back to his hometown and like try to revitalize his like 3A high school team. Honestly,
he needs something, because whatever he's thinks defensively just does not seem to work.
I think,
but yeah,
he needs to not become a visor guy. You can't be a bald visor guy. He needs to switch over. No hat. He cannot be a bald visor guy. That's what I think Alex Grinch should do.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I agree with you too on that. I think that it's a little like 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah, I think most likely like Lane Kiffin or Elijah Drinkowitz would leave in a heartbeat to go to Florida. And I'm not saying they won't now. Like, coaches leave all the time. You just had like coaches have just recently left Oklahoma and Notre Dame. So it's not like, and those two programs are leaps and bounds above what Ole Miss and Missouri are as programs. But I agree with you. I mean, Missouri and Ole Miss, both, specifically Ole Miss, might have the best run collective in NIL collective in college football. And Lane Kiffin's kind of in charge of it. Like, what he says goes. He gets paid well enough. Like, I'm sure Florida could offer him more money, but
it's more expectations. Why leave a comfortable situation?
Yeah, and like I said, he might. Like, I'm not saying he won't. He left Tennessee in the middle of the night. Granted, that was, you know, almost 20 years ago now. So I think he's probably a little bit more mature in some ways than he was then. And it was to go to his dream job. But I personally think Florida should look more like at D'Aiton Lynn. Just look around, like, you know, there's good coaches and stuff out there. And mm-hmm. and part of it too is I don't necessarily know that if Missouri and Ole Miss are in the playoff and making deep runs, you can't, and maybe they would leave up and leave in the middle of a playoff run. I kind of doubt that. So I don't think you're going to want to wait until, I guess if they lost in the first round and you waited, that wouldn't be that long. That'd be like the week before Christmas or something, right? That's when the first games mm-hmm. are, like December 20th, 21st. Mm-hmm. But you can't wait until, you know, January 10th to hire a head coach. So I think Florida should be looking more around. And the word is that they want a guy with, you know, P5 experience, all that kind of stuff, because Billy Napier didn't have that and they've kind of struggled. But Dan Mullen did, and they probably never should have fired him.
They should not have fired Dan Mullen, or at least kept him around for a couple more years. But we will see what happens with Sunbelt Billy in a few weeks, probably. But we are going to move on.
If they lose to Mississippi State, he will not have a job on Monday. I can almost guarantee that.
Play that clip if that happens, please. But we are going to move on to the meme matchup, not week three, but the meme matchup of week four. Zuch, this is unanimous, right? Do I dare say this is the first official candidate? Or I guess second. We had Iowa State. This is the second official candidate of me matchup of the year.
Oh yeah, this one is gonna be. It is leaps and bounds.
And this is the California Golden Bears versus the Florida State Seminoles. This is the perfect storm of just funny. 0-4 Florida State, 3-0 Cal. Cal just entering the ACC. You have the dog poop guy on Florida State. But what makes this matchup is, yes, it's going to be a funny game if Florida State, which is a shit show right now, loses. It's Cal's Twitter has emerged as premium. It is, and Miami fans might not. The Calgarithm. Miami fans might not want to admit this, but Cal is creeping up on Miami as the best Twitter in the ACC. And if Cal keeps winning, they're going to overtake him. Danny Boy and Caden's got to have to do a lot of work if he wants to keep that top spot.
I need them to meet. Danny Boy Caden versus Caden. Cal Universal
League. Twitter, yes. But and it was just the memes. And I mean, we talk about the list additions. None of these were on because I thought these were funny. Whoever said that they're going into Florida and they're going to, if Cal wins, it's going to be Woke Campbell Stadium and the Florida State Seminoles. It has to stop. It has to stop.
It's there could not possibly be a funnier outcome. And this is looking way down the line. But if Cal won the ACC, that is the I don't care what happens. Northern Illinois could win the national title, and Cal winning the ACC would be funnier than.
You could see the Pacific Ocean from their campus. Speaking of Cal, they were throwing cards on the field. All-time soundbite by Justin Wilcox last weekend. Please stop throwing the cards. 2 15-yard penalties. This is like Cal is becoming America's team. And look, I'm a Cal fan. I've gotten shit for it my whole life. It's my second favorite team by far. Obviously, I'm like Broncos over everything, but my secondary team I kind of keep under my wing is Cal. And forever I've had to hide that because they've just been bad. But Cal, and if Florida State, if they start 0-5, you have to bench DJ, right? Like at that point, if DJ doesn't beat Cal, like, and you don't bench him, it's essentially like Mike Norvell like resigning.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. It's already bad enough to not,
0-4, or they're 0-3.
Yeah, if you can't, like, it's a, you can't, he can't keep getting away with this right now. Like, I feel bad for DJU because it just has not worked out, but like, you got to sit the guy down. Like, the offense just isn't doing anything. And I get that part of it's they can't run the ball and stuff, but what, like, if you're, oh, like, they lose this, they're 0-4. What do you have to lose at that point? Like,
yeah, no, because then now you're just playing for bowl eligibility. Like, exactly, you got to essentially run the table to get bowl eligible. It's insane. But Cal winning the Atlantic Coast Conference when you can literally see the Pacific Ocean from their stadium, you are correct, would be the funniest thing and just sum up realignment so well. I have one last question for you, Zuch. Would Cal winning the ACC be worse for the ACC in terms of teams are like, this conference is a joke now? Or would it be better in the fact that these teams would go, oh my God, like, is Cal a powerhouse that, like, we can build on, and like, the ACC can, like, kind of be that third best conference and kind of make a name for itself? What is Cal winning good for the ACC? Or is it just good for Cal?
I think it's kind of a double-edged sword, because I think it's good. Obviously, it'd be good for Cal, but that's another name. Like, if Cal goes 10-2, like, Justin Wilcox has gotten, like, his name has come up in job searches before. Like,
he turned down the Oregon job. He did turn down the Oregon job. I think he likes it at Cal. I mean, you get paid a lot of money at Cal because you are in the Bay Area. It is surprisingly, like, you know, maybe athletically, like, NIL, not the biggest boosters because they haven't come around on that in California regulations and stuff. But boosters-wise and just money in terms of donors that campus has. I know I make jokes that they're broke, but they're broke for a reason because they just spend all the money that they have. So he makes good money for really low expectations. Yeah, but like you said, double-edged sword. Do you think it's a double-edged sword in terms of Cal success because Justin Wilcox could leave and take one of these jobs?
Yeah, like, I mean, the Florida job, for example, I could see him interviewing for that. I know he's mostly been a West Coast guy, but that's a, like, Cal's been, what, perennial, like, 5-7 to 7-6 for the last few years. Like, they haven't, you know, they're not 0-12 or anything like that.
No, they're bowl eligible every year. They're like 6, 7, 8 wins.
Like, that's a, I could see a scenario where he's like, all right, like, I'm probably not going to do any better than what I just did here this year. And, like, who knows? Cal could finish 6-7. I have really no clue, but I could see him going, but maybe not. I mean, like, he gets that program rolling, and like you said, they have good donors, stuff like that. In the past, they've had good teams. It's just they're kind of USC and UCLA are so big that I think it.
In California, they just get overshadowed, and especially with the David Shaw Stanford years, like, Cal really just got overshadowed in a time period in college football where they couldn't afford it.
Right. So we'll see. I hope Cal wins because it would be Cal and Miami. I seriously think it has a chance to be College Game Day if that happens, which I want more than anything.
Oh my gosh, Miami fans in Berkeley, California. If College Game Day goes to Berkeley, oh my God. I just feel, oh, because I wish Bill Walton would have still been alive. Because you already know, even though he's UCLA grad, you already know he'd be in Berkeley, ESPN guy, and just hanging out. Like, I don't know, just him and Herb Street would have been awesome. I want to see Pat McAfee in Berkeley, California. You know, he talks a lot about, oh, this tough. Pat McAfee, I don't think a lot of people who are like, oh man, California's weak and they can't last on other parts of the world. You know, as someone from California, I dare you to go to Berkeley. You won't last a day in Berkeley. You won't last a day in Berkeley. The second you get offered soy chorizo, you're going to freak out and just want to explode. You won't be able to handle it.
It's great. And I will forever call it Woke Campbell Stadium if Cal.
Yes, Woke Campbell Stadium. Pull this off. It will be known as Woke Campbell Stadium and the Florida State Soy Minnows. I also saw one last thing I will say. Someone made a meme and said Ron DeSantis is banning books, but at this time they're banning playbooks. They're trying to harm the Bears of getting it. They said that DeSantis was banning playbooks. This is not okay. This is not okay behavior.
It's good. It's great. That's why I love one of the reasons I love college football is Twitter has made it 10 times better with just the stuff. I laughed at one tweet for probably 35 minutes, and it was a Florida player getting juked. And a Miami, it was Florida. And I think it was a Miami fan. Maybe it was a Florida State fan saying he got juked so bad he started running like a werewolf. And
yep.
I laughed at that out of nowhere. My dad was like, what are you laughing at? And it was
also just... Such, we actually have one more thing to bring up.
What is it?
It's the cheese chin grab video that we saw.
That was
great. Everyone, if anyone goes to Old Row on Twitter, look up the video, and it's just the state of LSU athletics right now. It's just too confrontational. Two guys that looks like it's a freshman bar at LSU, and let's just say two guys get in an argument, and one guy who I did some research, nickname is the Cheese, chin grabs him like this. To start the fight. Insane power move. Yes.
The funniest part. He's like.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Maybe we can get Sean to post. Yeah, the waffle away after getting punched. Yeah, in the burrow. Oh my gosh. But Zuch, anything else you got? We have hit the hour mark. We have finished everything we need to talk about.
That's everything. This is the last week where you kind of have, for the most part, we have that like week before Thanksgiving where there's a bunch of crappy teams that play good teams, but next week you got Alabama, Georgia, and it like kind of takes off starting next week. You got the power matchups from here on out. So, but there's some good games this week. You never know what's going to happen.
Never know.
Watch the games. Let us know what you guys think.
Florida State Soymanals. Again, use code Z and sign W15. For 15% off merch at the Settle Down store. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next Friday.